Work and money are two topics that can be a huge source of stress for most Catholics because we don't often have enough guidance, even though we have maybe general guidance from the church. It's good to have specific guidance to help us to know what to do. In today's video, we explore what Maria Sima and the Souls in Purgatory have to say about this beautiful topic. Please join me as we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, I ask that you send forth your grace and your wisdom into my mind and also into the hearts and ears of those that are listening, that all of us may grow in our proper use of this gift of money in our lives. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, this is the channel Uniquely Mary, and my name is Alvaro, and we are here at this beautiful grotto at this Church of Our Lady of Lourdes here in Texas. It's an awesome church that we love visiting, especially during the pandemic. This was one of the few chapels that was open for daily prayer, so it was a huge source of grace. So in today's chapter, we continue exploring the book Get Us Out of Here and everything that Maria Sima has learned from the souls in purgatory. And this chapter is short on work and money, but she covers many different topics that all of us would be interested to hear. So we begin with one of the first questions. It begins like this. In this war that you have mentioned between the rich and the poor, the subject of work, or more often in these times in which we live, the lack of work available is naturally a much discussed subject. Let me ask you a few simple questions about work and money, or would you prefer to first say something about these subjects? And Maria responds, the greatest war today, second only to the war against the innocent babies and the family structure, is between the rich and the poor. The Freemasons are behind the movement to create a world currency and a world government, the so-called New World Order and New Age, and that world government will have all its energies aimed at destroying the church. Even the horrid war in the Balkans at this very moment is funded by the Freemasons, and it should be no surprise at all by this time why Our Lady chose to appear in the middle of that some 10 years before anybody had an idea that it was going on to explode the way it has down here. The World Bank, the United Nations, the European Union, and the International Red Cross are also synchronized with all this, and despite all appearances, are not working for the benefit of the world. And behind all of this is the network of banks that are run by the Freemasons and a string of other secret societies about whom the vast majority of people know near to nothing. People's greed and fear of poverty permit them to hand Satan the funds with which he will attempt, but in the end fail to crush our church and thereby God. It will be at that precise moment that Our Lady, with her followers, will become victorious, even if things do not appear so until the very last moment. Wow. In that answer, she basically covered everything: the end of the world, money, the United Nations, Freemasons. So let's unpack a few of those things. First of all, as long as Freemasonry has been around, the church has been against it. As Catholics, we cannot be Freemasons and Catholics. As Freemasonry is a, I don't know a lot about it, but what I do know is this. It is a fraternity, often it's considered a secret society, and despite what they may externally say, they are anti-Christian at their root and most certainly anti-Catholic. In the last 60 to 70 years, they used to be more vocal and standing against the church. So for instance, one of my favorite saints, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, specifically started an organization, the Militia Immaculata, to fight against the Freemasons, to pray for their conversion, because they were wanting to fight against the Pope and against church morals. And we don't know much about them. It is difficult to find members, for them to be open and honest. But I remember this one encounter I had. I was younger, and it was just after my conversion, and I was at a bar, and I was talking with this guy, and we were talking about our faith and different things in our life. I was telling him that I had just converted to the Catholic faith, or reverted, that I was practicing my faith, and that I was learning a lot about it. And I never forget that he looked at me, and he said, "Do you know that I am a 33rd level Mason?" And he looked at me as if to say, do you know that I am basically the highest level of an organization that is an enemy to the church? That was the look in his eye. Very few Freemasons will actually say that because many don't know what it is. Many are part of this organization ignorantly. But that man confirmed everything that I had already been reading. Now, she also talks about this issue of the European Unions, the United Nations, and the issue of money. Well, a lot of us faithful Catholics, especially in the last 6 months, with the elections, with coronavirus, have kind of come to realize a lot of the corruption that is behind many large organizations out there that I don't even want to go into naming. And we know that at a root of it is greed and money. And another thing that is at the root of that that makes us slaves to it is fear. Often as Catholics, we're afraid of poverty. And because of that, we struggle to entrust ourselves to Jesus. We struggle to let go of these things. And we also become a slave to these organizations as well. My friends, one of the things that Maria is getting at here is the issue of money. Now, sometimes people can see this as something neutral, but money can often be a trap, both for those that work for Satan actively, but also for people in the church, and especially people in the church. Because money can sometimes appear neutral, people that are devout Catholic will allow their fear of poverty to kind of pull them into this trap. So listen to some of these questions that she has. You have mentioned the greed of the West on several occasions now, and you have said that God will hand out severe reparations to the West for it. Does it then follow that the centers of greed, the centers where these banks you speak of are most concentrated, will suffer more than areas where humility is more the way of life? She says, obviously, yes, I think that will be the case. And we see that right now with coronavirus. This was written maybe 20 years ago. And what's the country that's being hit, or one of the countries that's being hit the most, is the U.S. And it's partly, I think, a way for God to pull us away from our dependence on money and material needs. She continues on later on. Among the wealthy, there is a manner of living which entails always gaining in their wealth, often referred to as the principal, by only spending the interest made from it. Then there are many people today who simply live off of trading in the various currencies or from other forms of speculation. Are either of these activities or even lifestyles in God's will? She responds, clearly not. God wishes for the wealthy to share what they have with the poor and to do good deeds for the poor and not to sit on their wealth. Both these groups will have much to adjust to in the coming years, and we must pray that the Holy Spirit enlighten them as fast as possible. Now, this is something that you'll see on YouTube. You'll see on YouTube from Christians, from non-Christians, from every group, how to make money, how to make more money, and money is basically worshipped to. Even amongst conservative Catholics, if someone is super, super wealthy, no one will even blink an eye or think that that's something bad. They'll think, oh, well, that's great. God is, so to speak, blessing them. But what she's saying is that we cannot sit on the wealth that we have. The money that we have, we can have it for our needs. And that's it. If we have all this excess money and savings for luxuries and this and that and 401ks and all these other letters, while people are starving, or while we could be doing good for that, or offering masses for the souls in purgatory, for instance, then we are sinning against the dignity of those other people. So if you are someone who has excess wealth, that wealth really belongs to other people. It belongs to people in need. And you can't see it as something that you've earned. You have to see it as something God's given you to do something with. And that's really important. Next couple questions. And were there people who already saw that the system as it is today is not from God? What do you suggest that they do with the funds they have accumulated if they now wish to use it according to God's will? Which is kind of repeating my answer. And she says, do good things with it now because later it will be gone and do no one any good. Last question for today's chapter. She says, is the idea of an Antichrist true? And watch how she connects this answer with money. And she says, yes, I'm afraid it is. Some visionaries, other than the ones in Medjugorje, say that the Antichrist is already alive today. He will come as a great financial wizard, have a very powerful charisma about him, and will also be considered a great healer and miracle worker. huge numbers of people will fall for him, when in fact, his will be the strongest manifestation of Satan ever. People must pray incessantly not to be fooled by Satan and his unlimited talent to disguise himself in any form that pleases his arrogance. What can we take from this? Money is something that really easily corrupts the heart of even the most good and the most holy people. So you need to be careful when it comes to money, because that's one of the greatest traps that Satan uses to trap the whole world, Christian or not. And it's the main trap that the Antichrist will use. Now, people, we could see how this can happen. Right now, the coronavirus, economic downfall, people are kind of anxious and afraid, wondering if is God going to take care of me now, which he is, but we're losing that trust. So this is a perfect opportunity for someone to come up and say, hey, I have the answer for all of your problems. We cannot fall under the illusion that money is everything that life is about. Financial answers and financial security are not what life is about. Following Jesus, loving him, loving others, being loved by Jesus, that's what life is about. My friends, I hope you enjoyed today's video. I hope you found value in it. Please hit the like button, pray for me, and support this channel, and I'll see you in the next video.